A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies themselves stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged upon me, even then will I trust. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
The Lord is my light
and my salvation. The Lord be at peace to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples and the one who had betrayed him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contribution. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. Verbum Domini. Martha's no longer the one complaining, but one of the disciples of Jesus. Mary is active in her love. But there's something truly upsetting about this wastefulness, at least in the eyes of the world and of the flesh. But to know Christ Jesus, to see him resplendent, the resurrection and life, even in the depths of his coming humiliation, this changes everything, that all is transformed in him. So if the measure given is the measure received, packed down and flowing over, to feel oneself loved, to the degree that our Lord pours himself out, or to see our Lord even loving others, to see how he loved Lazarus and raised him from the dead, this is the source of wastefulness. For Mary, her brother had been raised, but she also knew that something greater had happened for her. That Mary of Bethany had herself been bound up, afraid to humble herself before others, held back by the contempt of the world, but to be near him, to console Jesus, to console our Lord, was now more valuable than any material treasure. So, love impels her just as it draws Jesus at this moment, that his merciful love will soon be poured out. And to our shame, how carelessly we pay attention, that we're barely attentive to our Lord even now, but to keep him, his love, his primacy, ever before our minds, to give love its primacy, even over the way we think about things in a certain sense. So Mary's dear gesture gives us an example of the necessary wastefulness of love, that the world will only accept half measures, even if it accepts anything at all when it comes to the things of God. And the evil one would not have us undistracted on the one thing, the one person necessary. So true love does not admit distraction. And in a way, distraction is not even a problem even more for those who love truly. And we can think of the example of, you know, a mother cooking and the child coming up and bothering her, which is, it's not a bother anymore, you know, but they have a million distractions, but love covers all of that every present moment is an opportunity for love. So even the smallest things, the most insignificant, can and should be filled with charity, with the presence of God. And its purifying force transforms the nature of the things our Lord has created. Or better, that how our Lord, or why our Lord, or the glory that is within all created things, because it's created by God, the God who is love, that the true nature of things is revealed, the true freedom of things is revealed when love is present. Without love, knowledge is dead, empty, sterile. So union with God and means towards it are multiplied for those who grow in holiness. In almost anything, save sin, almost anything may be an expression of love for God, or vice versa. You know, anything, almost anything, save, you know, true, authentic, divine love poured into our hearts may be an expression of hatred. It's terrible, but the presence of God, the glory of God, which pervades the present moment, pervades our life, that such that our Lord's loving tenderness is manifested everywhere, is in all things for those who love. But this is not to say, if we're getting confused, which probably, it's not to say that we're not going to suffer. And this is the great gift, the great grace of the cross, that when we gaze deeply upon the cross, upon the greatest love that ever could be, and this is a love which doesn't stay there, but will enter into that restful loneliness that comes through suffering and then break out in the glory, the joy of the resurrection, the freedom of resurrected life, that this love is daily fulfilled upon the altar in the renewal, the representation, the making present of his sacrifice, the most holy Eucharist, that in a real way, this is the necessary wastefulness of love that we can hardly plumb without the love of God. Why would our Lord choose to be with us this way when so many, including us, are so distracted in his presence and that we don't love him as we ought? But our Lord is not, in a certain sense, our Lord is not concerned with our little acts of, not how to say it the best way. He receives in joy every little act of love and every turning back to him from distraction, that, you know, not to just rejoice in that. So in the words of Saints Francis and Claire, to give ourselves totally to him who has given himself totally to us, to hold back nothing of ourselves for ourselves, that he may receive us totally. So our Lord has given all, and so to be attentive to this necessary wastefulness of the love of our Lord.